Blog Talk Radio.
And we are here.
Hallelujah. I think we're here.
I know we're here. All right. We're here tonight to pray for you and minister to me.
My phone's acting up. Please let me know. We'd like to know that. So hopefully you call in tonight and you minister to everybody. Tonight is that night. So welcome to that night and that place. We are here. For you to pray for you, bless you, help you out, whatever you need. So join in, and we will do that very thing. All right? Okay, so what is going on tonight? We are believing God for a revival and outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I'm believing God for that big time, and I think we're going to have it. God is lining up everything, getting it all set up for that very thing. So if you're interested in that, I think we're going to see it. All right. If you need prayer tonight, make sure you get in, and we will pray for you. We will do our best to believe some kind of blessing from the Lord to you, some kind of revelation, some kind of understanding. And when you get revelation from the Lord, it changes everything. It changes the way you think. It changes the way you feel. It gives you hope. It gives you life. Really, really awesome. You're needing some of that tonight, I think you're in the right place. All right. Welcome, everybody, to the prophetic place. You're here to believe God for miracles and signs and wonders in all different kinds of ways. So I believe it's God begins to open our eyes and show us what's happening. That within itself is a sign and a wonder when you think about it. Tell us what's going on. Being very specific, not just a bunch of generalizations, but very much specifics, right? Yeah, really, really cool. So we are opening up for that, and we want God to tell us exactly what's going on, and I want to know exactly what's going on, right? I think you do too. So, yeah, hang on just a minute. Just get ready to pray, get ready to believe, and God's going to show us, you know, what's going on so that we can believe God for that and open up for that for you. All right? Oh, I'm looking for something here. Hang on a second. Let's go ahead and find what I need. Very interesting. for just a moment here. Get it here in a second. All right, let's get ready to pray. And tonight, I really believe God's going to show somebody some really powerful things they need to know, and get ready for that to be revealed to you, so that you can, open up your heart and receive it. All right? Yeah. Really, really cool. God is really going to move and show himself mighty in the coming months. It's going to really, really be awesome. I'm more excited, I think, right now about things than I have been in a while as far as a prophet's perspective. In many ways, some people are not too excited about the prophet's perspective, but I think that they will be after a season, after a while. And so there you go. I think it's really going to happen in a way that God's people are going to be really blessed. Still having trouble with this right now for some reason. Okay, it really doesn't matter. All right, if my phone gets staticky, somebody please let me know, and so I won't go on and on and on. I really appreciate it very much. Trying to get here so we can do something. There we go. So if you need a ministry tonight, we're going to be believing God to get some special miracle words and special miracle information for you to be able to move forward in your life and start to believe God for whatever it is that you're needing. Amen? Yeah. Okay, I finally got in. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, that's really crazy. And, all right, so we are here to do that. Praise God. Tonight we are going to share a little bit about, what's happening in our personal lives and what God is trying to say to us about how to, not grieve the Holy Spirit when it comes to information about what he wants to do. And coming into agreement with God is everything. So everybody's kind of learning how do we come into agreement with the Lord? Well, you come into agreement with the Lord by knowing what he's doing. If you have something going on that the Lord is not speaking about, and you are starting to, try to jump in there and, be a part of something that is not really the word of the Lord, then it's very, very grieving to the Holy Spirit. And what happens is we end up missing out. And so I think what the Holy Spirit doesn't want us to do is miss our visitation. So we are believing God to reveal the visitation of the Holy Spirit. And, so we can walk in it. And when you know what the Holy Spirit is saying, then you can walk in it, right? If you don't know what the Holy Spirit is saying, you cannot walk in that. And that's what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to us, is that I'm going to show you what's happening so you can come into agreement with it. You know, like in the days of Moses, we know that God spoke very specifically that he was coming to set the children of Israel free from Egypt, right? That's what he was coming to do. He wasn't coming to make things better, right? He wasn't coming to, do church You know, he was coming to, very specifically, God told Moses, he said, tell the people that we're coming to set them free from Egypt. And which was a really big word. And, of course, the people of God really loved it. And that became revival for them. And so as they yielded to the word of the Lord, and as the prophet prophesied, Aaron and Moses, as they prophesied it, they understood this is what's going on. So if you want to be a part of what God is doing, what is it about what God is doing? It's revival or outpouring, or you can call it a lot of things, a love fest. And so, you know, what was a love fest going on in Egypt? It was God's coming to rescue his people, right? He was coming to rescue them. And so when you realize that God is not just coming to have church, he's not just coming to, you know, teach on some wonderful things. He's coming very specifically. The word of the Lord is, I'm coming to set you free from the system of Egypt. And so they listened to it. God and Aaron got together and showed them all the signs, like he threw down the rod in front of the people, turned to a serpent, he grabbed it, turned back into a rod. He put his hand in his cloak, and it turned into leprosy, and then he pulled, after he put it back in there, it was healed. You know, and so when they did the signs and wonders, the people of God went, wow, you know, and plus they said, you know, what God had told Moses. And so when they realized that what was being said, they worshiped God. I read the scriptures to you, I think, the other day. And so this is why we need to understand, what is God doing? What is revival? Is revival going to be a healing miracle service? Is that going to be it? Is it going to be people getting saved? Well, yeah, that's always going to be happening in the kingdom of God, always. But what's the main thing that God wants us to come into agreement with him on? Now, if Israel would have said, no, Moses, we don't want to leave Egypt. We got plenty of food here. Lots of work. It's kind of hard. But can't we just have church? Won't church just having some good revival here, you know, and having an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and people getting, you know, filled with the Holy Ghost or whatever? Won't that, can't we just do that? I mean, that'd be good. We'll have revival all through Egypt. That'd be amazing. And Moses would have gone, no, that's not the word of the Lord. What's the word of the Lord? What is the information God is trying to relate to his people specifically? And you see, we have different groups of people, y'all, that are saying what revival is. We have different groups of people saying what's going on. And so the Lord is saying, you know, that's not what it's about. That is not what it's about. And so if they would have argued with Moses and said, no, we're not going to go for that, then it would have been a real problem. See what I'm saying? And they would have missed out on their visitation, and they would have missed it completely. And so what happened was they bowed down and worshiped, and they said, oh, wow, just like with Abraham, we're going to be set free. We are going to be set free. It is going to be awesome. And so so they started to understand this is the move of God, right? So when you have the body of Christ or the church divided up in all these different sections, everybody thinking what God is doing is, you know, straightening out he's going to get Trump back in or something like that, or whatever they think is going on in the political arena, and they think that's kind of the revival. That's kind of what they're, and they're focused on that, and that's not what God is doing. Then they're going to miss their visitation. They're going to spin their wheels and spend their time fighting battles. That's not God, right? So that's what we've got to realize and start seeing that, you know, God is saying, very specifically, I've come to deliver you from the oppression of the Egyptians. I've come to deliver you from the Egyptian slavery and bondage. That was the word. That was what revival was going to be about, right? So, anyway, so that's what we got to understand, friend. If we're not agreeing with God on revival, what revival is not just, we have an image of what revival is. But revival is whatever God's doing, right? I mean, that's what I think revival is. If God's saving souls, man, we're going to all be down to that revival, seeing souls get saved. If revival is healings and miracles, and that's what it is, then we're all going to be down there, you know, believing for healings and miracles. Now, it can be several different things going on. In fact, in the midst of Egypt, when they were being set free, there people were being healed. The Bible says that when they walked out of Egypt, they walked out healed, delivered. There was not one weak among them, and they had some really old people there, really old people. And the Bible says there was not one weak among them. So when you start seeing that when you enter into what God is saying, all those things can happen. Instead of being all divided up into, is it a salvation revival, a healing revival, a prophecy revival, what kind of revival is it? And so what happens is when you get into what God is saying, when you join into what God says revival is or an outpouring is, you join in with that, you start going, okay, God, I want to be a part of that. Then people get healed, then people get saved, then people, all kinds of things happen. But it's happening all in compass in around about what God is doing. And friend, right now there is an anointing that is God is being poured down through the prophets, that is anointing to set the captives free in a very specific manner. And that is to set us free from the bondages that have been in the church for, you know, building for many years. It came to a cap, came to a harvest time. And now God is getting ready to do revival in the sense that, you know, what kind of revival you got going on down there? We're coming out of a church. Oh, I thought you went to church when you had revival. They go like, yeah, I know, but that's not what the Lord said. Or saying, you know, we're coming out of a church. Oh, I think I might like that revival if you're coming out of a church, because I never did like my church in Frederick. Well, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about coming out of the church. Sure, we're talking about God is bringing a people, he's sanctifying and setting apart a people for him to do great things through and with, right? And so when you start realizing what God is doing, then you jump in there and you join in with it. And then, of course, just like happened in Israel, even though it was a deliverance from the bondage of Egypt movement, it was very much a movement to where, even though the specific movement was for setting them free from and getting them out of Egypt and taking them to the promised land, but in the midst of all that, guess what? They had revival and people were healed. There was not one weak. There was not one sick that walked out. So in other words, people were being healed. You know, of course, they didn't get saved back then, but they did recommit themselves. There was recommittance going on, recommitted, something like that. And so they were recommitting themselves to the covenant. And that's just kind of like saying, you know, God is saying, you know, recommit yourself to me. And so that's what they did. And they get the blood of the doorpost, and they recommitted themselves to the covenant that they had with the Father. And so that was the move of God. And so, friend, we got to realize what the move of God, because you're over there trying to have a healing revival, you know, or trying to have a salvation revival, or having to have a prophecy revival. I mean, all those things are fine, but what's God doing overall? And when you jump into that, to the main thing, then all the other things are going to just follow along with it, right? Because it's God's movement. It's the movement of the Holy Spirit. It's the movement of God. And so that's what we're going to see, and that's what I'm prophesying to you now. I'm telling you, get ready for revival. But listen, friend, it's got to be in the light of what God is doing. If we're all sitting there divided up on whether Trump should be president next or God's going to begin to form the one-world government and join the church together around the globe, if that's what God is doing, which it is what God is doing, and we're not involved in that, we're not focused on that, you're going to miss out on the real revival, and then all the other things that go on with real revival, like healings and miracles and people getting right with God, you're going to miss out on that. And so trying to focus on the wrong thing. So what do we focus on? When God told Moses, what are you going to do? You're going to set my people free from Pharaoh, from Egypt. Pharaoh's going to harden his heart, so get ready for that. And so what's happening right now at this moment, almost simultaneously in a way, God is setting the church free to come out of the church. The church is coming out of the church, just like the church was born and birthed in the day of Pentecost, coming out of, you know, the Jewish culture, the Jewish, quote, religion, you know, under the law and the prophets and all that. They came out of that. Same thing's happening now. We're having a church coming out of a church. And so it'll be kind of a little sparse at first. But as people begin to see that after one sign after the other, after one miracle word after the other, and they start, you know, it starts gaining ground. When it starts gaining ground, and people start saying, man, it's not just two or three amazing prophet miracles. There's like
you know, 10 or 15 of them or however many it is. And so it's going to get people's attention, and little by little, those, there's going to be many people that are going to resist for a while. Just get used to resistance. You're going to have people resisting. You're going to have people saying, no, I'm hearing from God. No, I'm hearing from God. No, I'm hearing from God. You're going to have all these people, you know, quote, hearing from God about what God is doing, and it's just not going to be, it's just not going to work. So a lot of those people are going to have to, you know, watch what God is doing. They're going to watch what God's doing through PGN. I guarantee you that's already, there's a lot of eyes on PGN right now and on prophet ministry here. There's a lot of eyes on it right now. the last level of what happened with Daystar, it's sad as all that was, as much as we love Marcus and Joni, you know, they've been chosen to be the ones to deal with publicly with the word of the Lord. And, you know, when it's all said and done, you know, Marcus is in heaven, and I'm sure Joni will be too. You know, and I'm pretty sure she's saved. She looks saved, she acts sick. But, you know, they've been chosen to be a sign and a wonder in the realm of the market revelation that we have here at BGN. No marketing, not marketing Jesus, not selling Jesus. We need to give Jesus away and then let the church give back, right? That's what we need to do. So that's what we're working on. And God has definitely dealt a big blow to that, at least a part of a blow. The blow's not over with. And when he's through with Daystar, it's going to be something else. So just get ready for that. And it's going to take 10 plagues in Egypt. It may take, you know, I don't know how many, quote, plagues or signs and wonders it's going to take for the church that's going to be rejecting this message, eventually going to go, oh, well, I guess maybe he is hearing from God, or they are hearing from God. PGN really is hearing from God. Maybe they really are. Well, they're going to be totally convinced, friend. They're going to be totally convinced. And it's going to be, you know, it's going to be really, really amazing. It's going to be really, really cool when they start seeing it and knowing it and, you know, and God starts doing that stuff. It's going to be just really, really a blessing. So, all right, y'all seeing that? I hope you're seeing that. If you're not seeing it, you will. If you have an eye for the Lord, an ear for the Lord, you will eventually be hearing that, and it will be happening. So just get ready for it, because that's what God is doing. And what God is doing, that is revival. You know, you can come up with your own revival if you want, whatever. But God definitely has, his thing going on, and he wants everyone to know what that is very specifically, so that they can join in with it and become unified over that, and therefore, we'll all be, absorbers or partakers of the power of that, the power of the movement. What's the movement God's doing? So that's the big question we got to ask right now. I don't think many people are asking that. They're trying to get the movement that they have an anointing for, which is, you know, okay, but it's just not what God's doing. They whatever anointing they have, they're believing God for that to be the revival, right? And so when it, not that it can be part of it, but they're going to have to, those people are going to have to see the overall big thing God's doing. Like when Moses went in and told Israel, well, they told him, they said, hey, we're not just going to have church, we're not just going to have revival, we're going to have, God's going to deliver his people out of Egypt. And then, you know, then the results of all the healings and things begin to happen. It's the same thing here. So as people join in and they start seeing what the main thing God is doing, and they join in with that, they see that, they understand that, then they're going to go, wow. And then their anointings, the anointings that God has for them, will join in with that main thing, and they'll all be part of the main thing, which is called Psalms 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Right, it's like the special oil, right? A special oil. So we can talk about that a little bit. Let's go ahead and talk about that just for a second. Let me see here. Hang on. Let's go to Isaiah. Psalms. Let me check here. There we go. Psalms 133. This is going to be the result of getting a hold of what God is doing in the mainstream, right? And when all the little people, I say the little people, all the individual people who have their individual anointings given to them by God, as they join in with that and they see that,
then what's going to happen is it's going to be amazing. It's going to be absolutely amazing because their anointings will not only be, you know, working really good, they're working really, really, really good, right? Yeah, so it says, behold, this is what's going to happen, friend. When we all catch the main movement of God, the main purpose of what God is doing is not just having church, not just trying to build people up while they're in Egypt so they can endure the slavery, right? I think that's what's going on in the church. There's no difference. But, yeah, so, you know, hey, just kind of let us have some outpouring here so we can endure our jobs that we hate. let's just have good church so we can kind of endure my marriage being screwed up, you know. Let's just have a good church so I can go home and feel all googly about my children being all messed up and my house being messed up and my job and business being messed up. Just give me some church. But that's what God is saying, something completely different. He's saying the main movement is I'm coming to set the captives free, bringing them out of the church. And then at the same time, I don't know about simultaneously or not. I don't want to get nailed down on that word, but something somewhat simultaneous, we're going to be brought out of the religious, of the one world system, so to speak. We're in the world, but not of the world. Pretty soon, it's no longer going to be in the world, but not of the world. It's going to be, if you're still in that system, when God is bringing us and delivering us out of it, if you're still in that system, financially, you know, socially, whatever it is, if you're still involved in that system, then maybe you're really not saved. Maybe, I don't know. But God's going to call us out of that. And many people will not come out because they're going to say, well, we like it here in Egypt, or we like it here in this one world system. It's not that bad. We can have church. We can love Jesus. It's all fine. Why are you making a big fuss about it for? Like they're already kind of talking about. To those who are being sanctified and set apart and being called out of the church, almost simultaneously, we're going to be withdrawn from the system of the system that we're in right now. Does that make sense? That's kind of almost a simultaneous thing. We're going to be being drawn out of the church, a church within the church, going to come out. We're all going to get out of church. I love that, the movement of, what's the movement? What's going on? Oh, well, we just, you know, coming out of the church. Are you church people, but you're coming out of the church? Yeah, something like that. Yeah, and that's really what God is saying. I kind of love that thought process. It's pretty cool. So that's really what's happening. And so as the church comes out of the church and God begins to birth it, it's going to be really amazing because at the same time, simultaneously, it's like we're going to be delivered of being the tentacles, if you will, of the one world system that we're, you know, kind of connected to. And right now it's going the wrong direction, as everybody knows. So to be a part of that, you can't be in that. Now you're going to be in it and of it. Right now we're still in it, but not of it, right? Because God, it's a movement of God. So we're doing business in the world system. It still hasn't separated out, so it's not Antichrist yet. But it is heading that direction, and it is going to go there fairly quickly. So God's going to begin to show us and do supernatural things to bring us out of that system through banking, through internet, through have our own system, basically. You know, so that's the move of God. So when you see that going, you're going, oh, that's the move of God, right? And then as other people begin to join into that, and after a few signs and wonders, it's going to take some people 3 signs and wonders to join in. Some have already joined in. Some people it's going to take 5 or 6 signs and wonders, plagues or whatever you call it, to go, oh, yeah, okay, God. And sometimes people it's going to take the full 10, so to speak. Oh, after the 10th one, they're going, yeah, okay, I got it now. You know, that's kind of the way it's going to be. And we're starting to have them a little more back-to-back right now. It's not always as quickly as you would think it would be, but I'll explain all that later as why it takes time to work through each part of coming out and how important it is for each part to come out and the time it takes to come out. We'll talk about that and compare that maybe tomorrow night. But, okay, so as people begin to, you know, come out, some people come out right away. Some people come out at 3 plagues, 7 plagues, and 10 plagues. And 10 plagues are like, oh, wow, what's going to happen then? Psalms 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil, verse 2, upon the head. See, this is the new church. This is the new authority. This is the new, what I'm calling, the priesthood. Not any disrespect to the Catholics, but it's not a Catholic thing. It is a Christ thing. It is a kingdom of priests. So it is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life evermore. And so this is what we are heading toward. Right, this is why God is bringing us out, because we don't have that unity right now. We don't have that. God, only God can join us together in the right way. And that's why the signs and wonders or the plagues or the Biden word, now the Daystar word, and that's going to continue on. And then the other words as we come along, those words are going to, when they start seeing that and they start knowing that all this has been documented here on PGN, and there's no question about it being, said before it happened, that, people are going to start believing. And they have every right. God knows how many signs it takes for them to get them out. It took Moses a couple, two or three, four signs, for him to believe. We're talking about Gideon and his 300. How many did it take for him? I think three major signs for him. And then, you talk about others. And so it just takes different people, different amounts of God speaking to them in supernatural ways to totally convince them. They have to be totally convinced. They need to be totally convinced, because this is a really, really big show. It's a big shoe, like a really big shoe. It's going to be a really big show. So get ready for the really big show. And how good and how pleasant it's going to be. Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine this? People fighting people right now. People, no, you can't say Biden's supposed to be in there. I never said Biden was in. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. No. Trump, and I've all divided up. And then all the other things, merchandising thing, all that. So when that all begins to crash and God begins to reveal that there is truly a purpose in all this, and it's going to this right here, Psalms 133, it's going to be amazing. I mean, the unity and the power of God, it's going to be absolutely mind-boggling. The revelations about Jesus is going to be tremendous, because when you have a group of people that have been brought together and unified by God Almighty himself, not by a great leader or great leaders, but by God Almighty himself, and he may use some leaders, but God did this. The shepherd did this. Not prophets, not apostles, not pastors, not teachers. God used some of them, but it is truly God that has done this thing, and therefore it's going to bring such unity. How many of you know, if God tells you the sky is green, then you believe it. You try to tell somebody else the sky is green, they go, no, it's blue, until God tells them the sky is green, right? And then when everybody's hearing the sky is green, they're all going to come into agreement that the sky is green, even though we all know what it is or not. You see what I'm saying? So when God tells them what's going on, then they believe because God told them. Therefore, there's true unity, and it's very pleasant and good. And that's what, I don't know about y'all, that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to pleasant and good, right? I'm looking for pleasant and good and dwelling together in unity. I don't want all this. Sometimes we have to, Jesus does say he comes to bring a division. And the Word of God, Ephesians says that the Word of God is sharp and quick and dividing asunder, separating, dividing out. So we do go through that process, and we're going through that right now. It's kind of difficult, but we're going to come out on the other side with Psalms 133. It's going to be absolutely amazing. All right. Okay, so let's get ready to take callers tonight. Thank you for being with us. And we just love being with our family. We're cool. You guys are awesome. And God is so good. So just believe God with us for Psalms 133, right? You heard the process that I'm talking about. And we have several people that have that don't have their hand up. I guess maybe you're doing that on purpose. The people that don't have their hand up, 912, all right, 214-415, you don't have your hand up. 903-808, you don't have your hand up. 912-398, you don't have your hand up. 850-491, you don't have your hand up. 478-233, you don't have your hand up. 608-960, you don't have your hand up either. But the ones that do have their hand up are 863-268. Hang on a second. Let me get this. Okay, hang on a second.
All right, 6-2-8-6-3, you're first. 7-5-4, you're second. 3-2-5, you're next after that. 6-1-0 after that. 5-0-3 after that. Okay. 3-1-2 after that. 8-0-3 after that. 6-2-3 after that. 8-0-4 after that. 9-7-2 after that. 2-1-4. I know I have another stretch run. 2-0-2 after that. 7-0-9 after that. 6-1-2 after that. 9-1-2 after that. 8-5-0 after that. 903-808 after that. You guys got in line. All right, thank you. Wasn't sure you were just visiting. 480 after that. 908 after that. 800 Okay. All right, let's go here with 863-268. I'm going to ask you what your first name is and what state you're from, even though I already know who you are probably, many of you. Thank you for going along with me on that. All right, let's go here, 863-268. Can I talk to you real quick, please?
Yeah, it's Nikki from Florida.
Hey, Nikki. All right, Nikki from Florida. All right, good to have you, Nikki. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Nikki from Florida. God, I thank you for the gold, the gold. I want to say gold dust, but what I saw was like fine layers, real fine, thin layers of gold. I don't have to explain that. So what I saw was like, it's kind of like, it's not just money thing only, but it is a, you know, when they, that's what they did when they made the Ark of the Covenant. They covered it with real thin layers of gold, real gold. And so it's like I saw that on the bottom of your shoes or something. It's really weird. I've seen that before. Like I saw that on the bottom of your shoes. Oh my God. That's like walking in the glory. That's gotta be what that is. I just realized what I saw. That was really cool, walking in the glory. And I know we gave you a word not too long ago about new shoes and that kind of thing, but it's really weird. I saw gold, plated like gold under you, like on the sole of your shoes. All right, that's what I saw. That's just really weird. What is it? Walking in the glory, girl. That's got to be what that is. And, you know, and that also means financial things too, of course, but that's really, really awesome. Wow, for Charles, God, we thank you for that. Provoke him, God. Thank you for Charles, God, for provoking him, using him to provoke people to jealousy. Using Charles to provoke people to jealousy about how God going to use uses him and the things that God does for him, God, that you use it to provoke people to jealousy where they want Christ. They want to find out. The curiosity is, you know, who are you? What are you doing? And what's going on? And to draw them in Jesus' name. All right. Very cool. All right, 754-240. I'm going to talk to your company.
Hey, Randy. This is Donald and Tanya from Miami.
All right, Donald and Tanya from Florida. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Donald and Tanya. God, I thank you, Father, for there's like an opening, like I see an opening of, you know, like what I saw was a staircase. I saw a staircase. Immediately, I saw a staircase. And in that staircase, you know, it's like it was access for you to, you know, go up and down, kind of like Jacob's ladder. It's something I could identify it with. You know, like Jacob's ladder, like I saw you going up and down steps. It wasn't a ladder, but it was steps. But the thing I thought of is like, okay, it's like entering into the spirit, getting things from God, like getting revelation from heaven, and then bringing it down, you know, to the earth, bringing it down to people, maybe. I'm sure that's part of it too. But bringing it down, in other words, that's what the angels were doing, Donald, when they did what they were doing, they were bringing the treasures of heaven, you know, to the earth, right? And so I saw that happening. I'm not sure all exactly what that means, but really, really awesome because that is. Okay, let me write that. Hang on a second. Yeah, so that's just another evidence that God's going to give you revelation. He's going to show you things, you know, about the heavenly things, and that you're going to walk them down or bring them down to people and deliver the goods to people. Wow, that's really cool. That's really cool. I like that. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I think we're stepping into something new, y'all. I don't know what's going on, though, but I've never seen this stuff before. So, Lord, I thank you, Father, for Donald and for going, ascending up by the Spirit of God into the heavens or into heavenly information or heavenly things from heaven, words from God, and bringing those words down to earth so that people can go, oh, that's, wow, that came from heaven, right? That's like, wow, really, really cool. Yeah. Amen. I'm going to transfer to my microphone. Hang on a second. Okay. Y'all give me a second here. I'm trying to transition. I'm going to play some music, so hang on just a moment. Hello, can you hear me? Okay. All right. So you can hear me. All right, Donald. Very, very cool. Very, very cool. Very, very cool. And Lord, I thank you for that, for Tanya, God. I thank you, God, for Tanya, for raising her up, God, to be a true servant of God, to be a servant of Jesus. Father, where she, because the servants become the greatest, because the reason that they become the greatest is because they serve you what God is giving them. Right, that's what servants do. They serve you what the master is making, what the master is, putting together. And so, so thank you, Jesus, for teaching Tanya how to cook heavenly food. Amen. Just like she cooks earthly food, teach her how to cook heavenly food, Father. How to make it, you know, where people, it creates an aroma. Like I know every time I'll not be hungry. Right, and I'll be driving by some place, man, and literally, I will get hungry because I smell the food. Right, I'm not even hungry, but I drive to this place, the barbecue or the chicken or whatever it is, and you smell it, you go, oh my gosh, now I'm going to stop in there and give you something to eat. So I thank you, Lord, for showing Tanya how to create an environment of people, making people hungry, making people want Jesus, causing people to want the Lord. Hallelujah. With all the spices and smells of heaven, God, and creating an environment where people go, I want some of that. I wasn't hungry for Jesus, but now I am. You know, show her how to cook it up, Jesus, and get it out there. Amen. All right, 325-280, who am I talking to, please? Okay, hang on a second. It's not, my computer's being slow for some reason. Oh, hang on a minute. I went off. Okay, am I back on again? All right. I'm sorry. All right, 325-280. I'm sorry, I missed you there. Can I talk to you real quick, please?
Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris. All right. Thank you, Chris. You know, you know, it's like I saw you taking an account of things, like you know, an accounting, like an accountant takes an account of things, and you know, and accounting for things, like God's showing you, you know, your account, you know, and showing you your account, how your account's doing, how your, you know, what He wants to put in your account, what He wants to deliver to you. And, you know, and so I saw, you know, the bookkeeper of heaven, so to speak, basically the accountant of heaven, you know, showing you the rewards or the, or what's in your account, your heavenly account, like God, like you're storing up treasures in your heavenly account, which is for now, it's for now and the millennium. Actually, our rewards are not just for when we get to heaven, because heaven's eventually going to come to earth, right? I mean, when you think about it, we're not all just going to die and go to heaven if Jesus is going to come back, right? Now, if you don't, if you do die before Jesus comes back, then, of course, you're going to go to heaven. It's an awesome place to go. Who would want to go there? But, you know, all that, all the people in heaven are going to be dumped on the earth, right? When Christ comes back, He's going to come back with His saints, comes back with His angels. They're all going to be, you know, dropped out on the earth, dumped out on the earth. That's not a very good proper word, but that's what's going to happen. So it's like, you know, what are the treasures for? What are the rewards for? They're for now. They're for now in the millennium, so to speak. So I think it's used for showing Chris more and more how to lay up treasures in heaven. There's many different ways to lay up treasures in heaven. It's not just about giving money. It's also about doing what God said. When He tells you to do something about land or property or your house or the anointing He's given you, and you do that, every time you do something with the Lord, yes, and even money, of course money, but it gets laid up into the heavenly places so that when it comes back to you, it doesn't come back in the decay realm. It comes back to you, you know, from a heavenly perspective, you know, where it's protected and kept, and it can't decay, it can't rot, it can't rust, it can't be stolen. And so God's moving you to this whole realm of showing you that when you go through the process of, you know, everything from your children to your material possessions, all those things, yourself, everything, even your dog, I don't know if you got a dog or not, but your animals, everything, your car, your tractor, your stuff, everything. When God shows you how to get those things, even though they're in the earth, the children will be in the earth, you're in the earth, tractor, your farm, so it's in the earth, house, it's in the earth. But when you give it to God and lay it up as a treasure in heaven and give it to God, then that's when that thing gets on it, bro, that protects, that keeps, that where a thief can't steal it. You see what I'm saying? People think that's just like when you go to heaven, nobody steals up there. That's not really what it's saying. It's talking about, you know, laying up treasures on earth. In other words, don't try to just go after earthly things to go after them. But the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all those things are added to you. In other words, those things get added to you. Those are the heavenly things. They come to you on the earth, but you got them by doing the heavenly thing. You got them by, by learning how to store up treasures in heaven. You know, it's like you're like Abraham. When Abraham gave up Isaac, when he yielded up Isaac, what was he doing? God was saying, okay, let's get Isaac up and store up in heaven so the blessings from him can't be stolen. You know, his promises can't be stolen. His life cannot be taken. He will not be corrupt. He will not have, you know, he will not rust. He will not wear out. But you see what I'm saying? So God's showing you how to take everything He's given you already, and He hasn't given it to you, or you already had it before you got saved or whatever. You know, because even in the Bible, Chris, you know, when God started circumcision with Abraham, He had to start circumcising everything. You know, if he bought some slaves or whatever, or bought some servants from, you know, another country, another place, they would have to be circumcised. You know, what was he doing with that? He was getting them involved in the covenant, which is where your protection is, which is where your incorruptibility is, where it can't be stolen or robbed. It's here on the earth, but you gave it to God. You laid it up to the Father. You laid up not treasures on earth, but you laid up treasures in heaven. You gave it all to God. Abraham was giving up Isaac. Isaac didn't die and go to heaven, right? No, he was offering up Isaac to God and getting him, if you will, a treasure in heaven so that the moth, the rust, the corruption can't come to it, which is what keeps everything we have. That's how God keeps it. It doesn't just be kept automatically just because it shows up, right? It's kept from decay and rust and destruction and thieves stealing because because it's so that it can be protected in the earth, you know, right? And so that's what God, because everything's going to end up coming back to the earth. That's what I'm saying. You know, everything that's in the heavens now, the heavens is a huge, most beautiful, powerful, most expensive storage tank we've ever seen. And the reason I know it's a storage tank is because it says, lay not your treasures up on earth, but lay up your treasures in heaven, you know. And so then he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. So bring them to the earth. But God's going to dump everything out on the earth when Christ comes back. So we know everything that's in heaven right now is going to come back, right? It's going to come back to the earth. So the ultimate goal is not getting people to heaven. The ultimate goal is getting people saved so they can fellowship with Jesus. And then if they die and go to heaven before Christ comes back, then they do. But then they're all going to come back eventually. So we're getting a whole different perspective on what God is saying and doing, my bro. All right, lay up those treasures, man. I know you're doing it. Hallelujah. What a great word. I love these words. This is a power. All right. 503-318, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, Randy. This is Robin.
Robin and Keith.
Hi.
Hi. You don't have to tell me who you are. I can tell by that voice.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Good to have you tonight. We're going to pray for you. And if you have a special request, Wednesdays is when we just we'll pray for Keith too and your family. Thank you, Jesus, for Robin, Lord. Thank you for the about face. I just see about faces going on. It's like, you know, I'm not sure if that's going to work out. I'm not sure if that's going to happen. That's really, and all of a sudden, an about face. About face. Is that how they do it? I don't even know. Like the military. I never was a military person, but my uncles were. They kind of leave it. I never was. But about face, like an about face, like a turnaround. And I see things turning around. I see all of a sudden just like, I don't know. I keep wanting to say to you, the fear of the Lord, the reverential fear and awe of God is working in your behalf. And you're about to see some about faces, girl. I mean, it may be money, it may be kinfolk, it may be family members, it may be situations. I don't know. But I heard that like about face, you know, like, I'm not doing it right, but. In other words, you know, a turnaround. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, my corriero se pecti marande por tu chiquepeto y que la proto para holy. Yeah, para holy, whatever that means. I don't know what para holy means, but when I came out of my mouth, that was powerful. Woo! Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Kisha katawa. Yes, Lord, and bless Keith, Father. Bless the family. Bless the children. Bless the grandchildren, whoever they are, whatever is going on, let the family, God, let it be the seed of God. Let them be the seed of God, the family of God, the heavens, the heavenly family. God, we're going to start calling Robin and Keith, you know, and their family, whatever. We're calling Robin the family of God, the seed of heaven, in Jesus' name, the seed of heaven. All right. Yeah, let's turn around that about face. Wow, that is really, really cool. All right, 610, I think you got knocked off. I see you down there. I just looked at my phone. I noticed you got knocked off. All right, you getting knocked off over there?
Yep, that's like three times this week. Shalom.
All right,
can you pray for,
it, so.
Oh, thank you. Can you pray for Devontae and Andre, please?
Yes, I will. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right, Devontae and Andre, of course. Yeah, I saw that she had gotten knocked off there. If you got knocked off, then let me know. I got it all. That's why I go through and tell you who's next. Because that line, getting the line is important. All right, Devontae and Andre. Thank you, Lord, for Lisa's son, Devontae, and her friend, Andre. God, we thank you, Jesus, for just outpouring, God. We thank you for the respect. I thank you for respect. I thank you for the spirit of honor and respect. Not just for his mama, not just for her, that too, but you know, for God. The Bible says if you don't, he who curses mother and father, you know, it's not, life's not going to go well with you, right? So we want to make sure that our children don't curse us. They can disagree with us. They cannot always think everything we're doing is perfect. But to curse us, that's a whole different thing. So I think you, Jesus, that you keep Devante from that area where he blesses his mama, he blesses and calls her blessed, Father, in Jesus' name, so that because that's what part of the way that God's going to bless Devante is honoring his mother and father, and even finding ways to honor, you know, parents. You know, I think your father had some issues, but Andre, but you know, finding a way to honor them, even in their, you know, issues that they've had. So we thank you for that, Jesus, and for building him up, God. Just build Andre up, God. He can be built up. Build him up. When he gets tore down, build him up, Jesus. And let him connect to the heavenly birth, which when you're birthed in the heavenly, from the heavenly birth, you know, you don't want to do things that, you know, people do things because their blood is in bondage. The blood, it needs to be set free. When your blood gets set free, then your insides speak to you differently. They speak to you like holiness, like righteousness, like goodness and graciousness and gosh. Good golly, Miss Molly. Not that. I don't know where Kate got good golly with Molly at, but good golly, Miss Molly. So, yeah. So thank you, Jesus, for that and protection and keeping the Lord. Andre, God, I thank you for Andre, God. I thank you for teaching how to walk in peace, God, when there is no peace, to learn how to walk in peace, even when there's storms. Like Jesus, you know, was in this boat and the storm was raging and all the disciples were freaking out. They said, do you not even care that we're all going to die? You know, that's kind of what he said, Andre. And so Jesus would learn how to sleep in the midst of the turmoil. Part of that is, you know, knowing your eternity is set with God, and number two, knowing that though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're going to fear no evil. Why? Because he's with you. And being born again is one thing. Knowing that he's with you, and it's not just something he's waiting for you in heaven, he's more interested in what you're going to do in the earth than he is about what you're going to do in heaven. Right? What you're doing in heaven, you know, all of heaven is going to be dumped out on the earth. I'm going to keep reminding you of that. All heaven is going to be dumped out on the earth. When Christ comes, he's going to come with all the saints. Those saints, you know, they're going to be living on the earth, you know, for at least 1,000 years, and then, you know, then Christ's kingdom is going to come, you know, the heavenly Jerusalem is going to come. So we don't spend all our time thinking about heaven. We spend all our time thinking about God. We spend all our time thinking about what's in heaven or what is perfect. Heaven represents God's perfect will, Andre, his perfect will. But, yeah, heaven is not just a place we go visit or we go to when we die, if you're born again, but it represents the highest blessing of God, the 100-fold blessing of God. And God's starting to give you expectation for that, to walk in that so you can walk in peace, even when there's turmoil everywhere. When the storm is raging, Andre's going to be over there sleeping on the pillow going, snoring, you know, and they're going to like, don't you even care, Andre, that we're all going to die? You're going like, we're going to be fine. Relax. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, for Lisa tonight, God, we thank you for Lisa, God. We thank you, Lord, for her to be able to separate out. The Word of God says, I quoted it earlier, I think, says the Word of God rightly divides, or the rightly dividing of the soul and the spirit, the rightly dividing of the Word of God, the dividing of the soul and the spirit, all that. I think you're supposed to study that. Because for some reason that has something to do with what you're praying about. I don't even know. But rightly dividing the Word of truth and dividing between the asunder between soul and spirit. All right, so get a hold of that scripture, and God's going to do some of all that. Yes, he is. All right. I got 503. Next is 312. Okay, 312. All right, 312. Who am I talking to you from, please? All right, 312-841.
This is Marja from Illinois.
Oh, hi, Marja. All right, Marja, good to have you tonight. All right. Hi, good to have you tonight, Marja. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Marja. I thank you for the joy of the Lord, God. I thank you, Father, for the joy, for happiness. God wants you to be happy. You know, blessed are the happy. Blessed are the happy. There's something about being happy, Marja, and not worrying about, you know, what we don't have. But as you, you know, your spirit of thankfulness that I know you have about the things that you have, whether it's enough or not enough, all the time. Yeah, being thankful for what you have, being thankful for, you know, that you're born again, that you're a child of God. And God grabbing hold of your mind, capturing your mind to focus on the goodness of God and the things that you do have and seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness so that he can add to you. Because the problem is when we, I know I've done this before, you stop and try to figure out, okay, what do I need to go after right now? A husband, a wife, a job. You know, money, what do I need to go after? And God says, wait a minute. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, and his righteousness. And all those other things will be added to you. So the enemy tries to get us, our flesh tries to get us to focus on the wrong things. Happens to me all the time. You know, we're believing God right now for studio stuff and, you know, miraculous intervention, which I believe we're seeing right now for all that. But what's happening is that I try to start, you know, going after it. At times, and if God tells me to go after it, it's different. But so God's showing you how to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those other things being added to you, and how to do that, how to devise that, how to walk in that. Because you know, even though I walk in that a little bit, I want to walk in it all the way, 100-fold, because I want all the things to come to me from God. I don't want to go out and get them myself, and then I got to worry about losing them, right? We go out and we grab it ourselves, right? Then we got to worry about, is it going to be taken away from us? That's why I gave a word earlier to Chris, but, you know, lay out not treasures up on earth, but lay up your treasures and get them up through the heavenly realm. Filter them through the heavenly realm, and then they'll be protected and kept. And so, because we know we didn't go after it, we know that God brought them to us. And God said, bring things to you, Marja, so get ready. In Jesus' name, I just loose that for you right now in the name of the Lord, because you are seeking him. And he's going to show you how to seek him even clearer and better. All right? So those things will just come chasing after you. I lose the chase after you, Marja, in Jesus' name. All right, 623-282. Can I talk to you from, please?
God bless you, Prophet Randy. Carmen from Texas.
Oh, hi, Carmen. I got this, too. Thank you very much. Okay. All right. Carmen. And we missed somebody, 803, did we lose you? Did you get knocked off? I'm coming for you. And I don't see you, 803. So if you got knocked off, you didn't call back in. I'm sorry we missed you. Yeah, truly sorry we missed you. All right. Okay, that's 803. Never mind. 803, there you are right there. All right, 803. All right, you'll be next to say thank you, Jesus, for Carmen. Thank you, Lord, for Carmen tonight, Father. We thank you for the power of God to, you know, like I see God, you know, opening up your body to feed your whole body, for your whole body to be fed, like your veins, you know, your veins being opened up at a new level where they flow through good, flow through really healthy, flow through God's clearing at your, almost like God's clearing at your blood vessels or your veins or something. I don't know. Maybe it's a spiritual thing. I'm not sure what that is. But so that your blood can flow really good so you have no functional issues, you know, spirit, soul, or body. And I see, like, because your veins, because I keep seeing blood veins. It's really odd. It's like God's trying to say, I'm teaching you how to help you get the blood flowing through your system. Right, because the Bible says when we fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. Right, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, and so there's something going on. I think it's just a cleansing realm going on with you, that God using you to bring cleansing. And of course, you know He cleanses me all the time. Every time I minister and pray for people, God cleanses me. You know, sometimes it really shows up big, sometimes it's just a little bitty thing. But we're all being cleansed, yeah, because every day we go out into the world. The world's always throwing stuff at us, messing with us, you know, and we get messed up by the world. And so God has to keep us cleansed
so that we don't get it all built up, right? Because we're all living the world. We're all in the world. And there's a lot of stuff that gets slung around. And God, anyway, so I see this whole thing about cleansing through the blood vessels. Through, I think it has something to do with the blood of blood through the body of Christ, too. So very, very interesting. That was some very interesting work. I kept seeing that. Yeah, very, very cool. All right, okay, 803, there you are. 803-991, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, Randy, it's Angela, South Carolina.
Hey, Angela. All right, Angela, my friend Angela. Love my friends here coming to PGN, all of our brothers and sisters. They just love the body of Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for Angela, God. I thank you for her love for you, God. I thank you for her love for you. I think there's a precious love that God's about to unlock inside you, Angela, that is so beautiful, that is so precious, that is so outpouring. It's like there's a love of God in you. There's a love. I just see this love in you. I see a love in you. And God's going to unlock that love. He's going to squeeze it out of you somehow or another. He's going to ooh and goo all over you. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for that. It's not just your human love only, as beautiful as that is. It's the love of God in you. And the love of God is, you know, when we walk in love, I mean, you know, the reason love is the greatest thing is because when you're full of love, people can attack you and hit you and slap you upside the head and say all bad things about you. And you just kind of like going, you know, how it is like when you know, I know when I was in my first love, like back in high school. You know, I mean, before I fell in love with that girl, you know, from Clovis, New Mexico, you know, I was, you know, things would mess with me. I'd get mad at people. But when I fell in love, it's like people say the same thing to me. I'm like going, oh, yeah, I'm in love. It didn't even mess with me, right? So I don't know what that is, but thank you, Jesus, for my sister tonight, God, and that whole love for him, God, and just anointing her with that, the anointing, the appointment of love in her life, Jesus. Let it be poured out, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, wow. I love it. All right, 804-218. Can I talk to you from, please? Who am I talking to you from? Hello?
Hey, can you hear me?
There
Hello?
You are. Okay. Who am I talking to you from, please?
This is Angie from Virginia.
All right, Angie from Virginia. Good to have you. All right. Thank you, Angie. Good to have you tonight. All right, because on Wednesday nights, I don't know how much you listen on Wednesday nights, but on Wednesday night, we just have everybody say your first name or say you're from, even if I know who you are. Thank you, Angie, from Virginia. You know, yeah, pretty cool. All right, thank you, Jesus, for God showing you, you know, his characteristics, his the character of God. Like the I know you're a character. We know no doubt about that. But God showing you his character, how he deals with things, how he, you know, sometimes he's laughing at the devil, sometimes he's like mad at the devil, sometimes he gets angry with, you know, and sometimes he's just laughing about it. You never know what God's going to do. Some things that we get mad about, God is probably laughing about it. Sometimes we laugh about it, God's crying about it. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I see God showing you how to laugh when God's laughing, cry when God's crying, you know, and react to things God's way. Because your reaction, Angie, to God are two things. When you react in God's way, that means that God's will is being done through you, reacting the way you react to it, about it. You want to reach out and pray and bring healing? You want to rebuke it, the devil off of it? You want to cast out the devil? You want to, you know, do something for it? You know, whatever the response is, whatever the reaction is that you have inside of you, God's showing you that that a lot of that is Him, and He's trying to show you more and more and more that you know, the way He deals with things. Of course, it's not like we would deal with them. We would think, oh, I shouldn't be laughing about that, but God's over there, he's just busting their gut. You know, we think, man, I should be laughing about this, and God's, you know, weeping over it, you know. So God's response to things is so much different than ours, and I see God really showing you about it, because your response to it, in other words, is like the intercession, if you will. It's thy kingdom come that will be done on earth as in heaven. It's how we respond to things, how we react to things, is God intervening through us, even just through our emotions, just even just through us like going, ha, 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 or whatever we're responding to, or I rebuke you, whatever the thing is when we're responding by the Holy Spirit. But it's just that simple. God's will being done in that moment through you. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's happening to you, happening through you. So God is getting his will done through you. God's getting his will done through me. God's getting his will done through a million other people. That's a lot of God's will getting done, and that's what God's looking for. It's people that respond to things the way he does, right? Like Jesus said, bless those who curse you. Well, I don't want to do that. I want to, like, God, can you just get them just for, like, one day? Come on. Lord says, no, Randy, bless them. Do good to them. I'm going, like, okay. You know, because that's how he, because how we respond to it in the spirit, the way God does, is what makes it happen or doesn't happen. All right, 972-695.
Hey, Randy, it's Terrence, Tanisha, and Gianna from Texas.
Oh, Gianna. All right.
Oh, Gianna.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. Okay, we got Gianna on set. All right, I got to write that down so I don't forget that name. I know I won't forget y'all's name. Gianna. Yeah, thank the Lord for Gianna. Lord, I thank you for the prophet. The prophet realm inside of Gianna, God. I thank you, Lord, for that prophet realm. I thank you for that part of Gianna that wants to bow down and worship God, that wants to enter into the heavens, you know, and everybody wants to go to heaven, you know, and you can understand it. That's okay. We just want to go too early, right? But what's happening is, Gianna, is God is starting to say, I want you to experience heaven on the earth. That's the more power. That's the more powerful thing is to experience heaven in the earth. Dreams, visions, revelation. You know, listen to what God's saying. Do what God says. Learn to obey the Lord. And when you do that, you know, you experience heaven. Because it's easy to have heaven in heaven, right? That's no big deal. Everybody goes to heaven when they die, if they're born again. But Jesus, the whole challenge Jesus was involved in was, hey, I'm trying to get heaven to the earth, y'all. I mean, y'all, come on now. Come on. Wake up. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Remember? That's the Lord's Prayer? That's the Lord's Prayer. Gianna, God teaching you how to focus on that. Oh, I just want to go to heaven and see Jesus. Well, yeah, of course. You know, that'd be really awesome. But, you know, Jesus wants to come to the earth. He's waiting to come, right? And so I want to see Christ in you. I want to see Christ in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And God beginning to change, you know, give you that perspective on and through the prophetic realm. We're going to see a lot of things, Gianna, through the prophetic realm, through the prophets. And I call forth that prophet in you, that prophetess in you. I call forth that prophetic desire inside of you. In the name of, I see you weeping over souls, Gianna. I see you weeping over things that are destroying people. I see you weeping over things that people getting hurt, people being wounded, people that don't care about things, don't care about people. I see God divinely instructing you to let God express himself through you for those people. Let God, Gianna, express himself through you for those people, and you'll see a change in their life. Yeah, no matter who it is. Hallelujah, Gianna. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, man, I got off on that one, or on that one. I got on that one, yeah, something like that. God, thank you, Jesus, for Terrence and Tanisha. Lord, thank you for Terrence. God, thank you for giving him the keys. Yeah, like I see, I don't know if the keys to a literal physical vehicle or what it is, but I see God give the keys to the kingdom, the keys to God giving you the keys by desire, whatever things, what sort of things you desire. I see your desires really increasing, intensifying with like a fire on them, like a fire of God on them, because the reason that God has to give us a fire desire is because usually it's something that's really hard to break through in. So it has to be obsessive compulsive type of thing, you know, like fire. You know, you really get obsessed with it. Yeah, that's what happened with me. I heard Oral Roberts one time, who's one of my favorite. He said that the reason that you have to get obsessed with certain things because they're big, because they're beyond us. It takes a lot of focus to get those things big going on because they're big and they're new and they're not on the earth yet, and God's trying to break them through. It's your family. God's trying to break it through into your heritage. And so that takes a lot of fire. It takes a lot of passion. It takes a lot of focus. And so the keys to focus, the keys to desire, I see that in you, in God showing you how to turn the key on to those desires so that the fire burns and doesn't go out. Because if fire goes out, then we kind of give up, right? We go, oh, God, I'm just so tired of this. And then he turns up the fire and he goes, no, not now. Yeah, hallelujah. Something like that. Yeah, I know I'm acting crazy tonight. Yeah, enjoy it. Nobody's saying that. I'm just making that up, right? All right, and Tanisha, thank you, Jesus, for Tanisha. I see like a you're wearing like a baseball hat or something, like a hat, like a coaching hat or something. It's like a coaching hat, like a baseball coaching baseball or something like that, like a coach and coaching people and the coach part of you. You know, one of the people that were biggest in my life, Tanisha, you probably heard me say many times, were coaches. For some reason, coaching sports was the only thing that I had going on, the only thing, I mean, literally. And so, you know, so I identify with coaches. Coaches are the people that brought things, that could see things in me, Tanisha, that I couldn't see in myself. Like the guy who, when I was 8 years old, 9 years old, worst baseball player on the team, worst batter, hated batting because I always strike out or get hit, right, or get hit or something. The worst ball player, worst everything. And that coach saw something in me and worked on. I'm going to weep over this sometime when I talk about it. It's so passionate to me. And he spent a whole baseball practice just on me, as I've talked about 100 times. And so it changed my life. And he paid the price because all the other kids got mad at him. What are you doing shooting him back for? Because batting was a fun thing for them, but I didn't like that, right? So he brought that out of me. He changed me that day. And it was a coaching spirit about him. He had a coach. Coaches have – they have an ability to see things in people that they don't even see and help bring them out, right? Yeah, so, yeah, there you go. Your coaching skills. I love coaching skills. All right, 202, talking about coaching skills, 202-722. Who am I talking to, Rick, please?
Hey, Randy, it's Nicole, and I'm from Washington, D.C.
I do know where you are from, and that is Washington. Yes, okay, Nicole. Thank you, Jesus, for that, and thank you for that, for the temperament of the Holy Spirit, the temperament. In fact, you know, some of you are going to find out pretty soon that Nicole's going to be doing, when is that, Nicole, the 23rd, 24th, somewhere in there? You're going to start doing, I think, as far as I know, you're doing the Book of Revelation, something like that. You're going to be teaching here on PGN. It's going to be really cool. So get ready for that. And so, you know, the temperament, I got the word temperament. 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 I know what temperament means, basically, but I'm going to look it up. Temperament definition. All right, temperament definition, a person or animal's nature, especially as it permanently affects their behavior. Okay, so she had an artistic temperament. The adjustment of intervals in tuning a piano. Oh, the adjustment of intervals in tuning a piano or other musical instruments so as to fit the scale for use in different keys, in equal temperament. The octave consists of 12 equal semitones. This temperament became standard tuning for all the new organs. Okay, so whatever that means. The temperament. Okay, temperament. So it's different things. A person's nature, especially as it permanently affects their behavior. So God's really been doing a work in your temperament to where you, thank you, Jesus. Help me out, Lord. Help me out, Lord. I need lots of help. Please help me. And the way that you she had an artistic temperament. I don't even know, disposition or nature. Yeah, and so God's really, you know, when God engrafts his nature inside you, Nicole, it's your nature now. You know what I'm saying? It's not God like going to be like, I'm going to have Jesus. No, when he engrafts it into you, his temperament in you, it becomes the way you respond to things. It becomes your nature. It literally becomes your nature. His nature, your desires become literally become his desire. His desires literally become your desire. Or his temperament literally is your temperament. In other words, he engrafts that in you, and then once it takes hold of you, then it is you. It is yours. It is who you are. And so God's showing you how that works, showing you how the engrafting of God's word works, how God's temperament or his nature or his disposition is in you. And once it's in you, it's in you. It can't be taken out. The phenomena of the prison. Okay. I'm reading something here. Great, the breathtaking beauty of nature. Okay. Anyway, the temperament thing going on there. And so God's showing you that, that this is the thing that I don't know what this is about exactly, but it's like once that temperament becomes yours from God, once you yield to it or your mind is renewed in that area, then that area of you is like God. You know, it's not God, but it is like him. We're being conformed to his likeness. And so as God conforms you to that, that can never change. It becomes yours. It becomes you. It becomes who you are. And so God's really showing you how that works, what's going on with that. And once that permanently gets changed, it's permanently changed. You can never go back to the old because it's like the old is not even – once that graft gets in there and takes hold, it's like now it's the real you. It's the new you. The word becomes flesh in you. And God really making his temperament part of you, the way you – I get into this a lot tonight about how you respond to things. Because like I said earlier, and it's a new word for me tonight because I'm really good at this, how we react to things, when we react God's way, when we respond God's way, then God gets his will in our life in that thing that we react to God's way. In other words, that's how we get the victory is we say, you know, like I said earlier about this one, it's okay, Heavenly Jesus here. Thank you. Okay, do I want to go there? Okay, I'm gonna stay right here. So once that temperament becomes yours, and it is yours, then it never changes, right? It's permanently changed, and so we go from one part of our nature, our temperament, to another, and as that becomes us and becomes ours, then that's it. So no, that's what I'm gonna say. It's the way. Once your temperament becomes Christ's temperament, then you start automatically, without even trying to, you're not working at it, you've entered into this rest. In other words, that nature, that part of your nature has become his nature, that part of your temperament has become his. And once you do that, it's like from now on, every time you respond to something, you're going to respond in that temperament. In other words, the temperament from Christ, right? So I don't know what this is about. This is a deep message, oh, by the way, for this for me at least. Wow, because once that gets engrafted, that's there permanently, right? And so, and then when you respond and react to it automatically, you know, you're no longer trying to respond with the right temperament. It's like your temperament is that in that area because you've conquered that. That's who you are now in that area. And we go from area to area to area. So your desires are his desires. Your response is his response. Right? Therefore, it's like the two witnesses we talk about a lot in the book of Revelation that says whatever things they desire, they got. Whenever they desire to plague, whatever they desire to plague, they can plague it. Anytime they desire to, anytime they want to. What does that mean? It's what I'm talking about now. Their temperament was so much God's. And God's temperament was so much theirs. That what they desired was God's will. So when they desired something, it was God's. So they had the freedom that whatever they desired, that was God. Why? Because their temperament had been totally changed. In the image and likeness of Jesus, conformed. I'm trying to understand all this stuff. It's really deep, wonderful stuff. All right, 709-500. Who am I talking to you from, please? Hello? All right, 709-500, are you there? 709-500. I don't know who it is. I'll just pray for you anyway. So that way you know who it is. I'm praying over. Thank you, Lord, for 709-500 to the divine time. The divine time. There's a divine time, and there's our time. You know, what time is it? Well, you want divine time or your time? Give me the divine time. So this is divine time. This is divine appointments, divine time. You know, getting in sync with God, getting in line with the Holy Spirit, saying and walking in, not my will, but thy will be done. What that does for you is that gets you in sync with the timing of the Lord. What time is it? So you want to know my time or God's time? Who wants to know your time? What's your timing going to do with anything? Right? Nothing much. But God's timing, that's everything. And so God teaching you how to get into his timing, understand his timing, how to get tapped into his timing so that you're in the right time, in the right place, the right place at the right time. Yeah, at the right place, at the God place, at the right time, at the right place, the divine appointment place, so that you can walk in that and live in that, and then your time becomes God's time. You know, then when you're spending time with God, it really is you spending time with God. It's not just you're over there doing your own thing. But so catching God's time is like you find yourself, your timing is, you just got to look around and you realize, man, I'm in sync with God. I'm in sync with God. This is amazing. Yeah, and I see God showing you how to walk in that realm and the beauty of that. All right? 612-805. You want to talk to your company? All right, 612-805. All right. I think it's just Joyce from Minnesota. All right, Joyce. God bless you, Joyce. Thank you, Jesus. For Joyce, Father, I thank you, Father, for giving her favor with the people that you want her to be a part of their life. That she finds that when you have a natural connection, it's just more of a supernatural connection. God's showing you that sometimes natural connections are, you just automatically know, feel like you know somebody, you know, that there's something about that. It may be a temporary connection. It may be a permanent connection. You know, maybe a temporary friend, maybe a permanent friend. But finding yourself in that realm of connecting, of being in sync with that person or being at, you know, feeling like you just automatically are, you know, automatically know what they're thinking, so to speak. You finish their sentences for them. You hardly know them. It's like that's a connection God wants you to, go, oh, there's something to this. Then you ask him, what kind of connection is this? Is this temporary, permanent? Are we just praying for this person, or is it going to be a permanent connection? And God's showing the difference between permanent connections, people you're going to live with, people you're going to stay with, you're going to come in contact off and on. Jesus had different levels of friends. He had Peter, James, and John. John was very, very, very close to. John leaned on his breast, very close to Jesus. Peter and James were a little bit different, but close. And so Jesus had different relationships with different people because of the way he connected with them. It was just automatic. He wasn't like they weren't trying real hard to make it happen. It just automatically, you know. So God's showing you that whole realm of connecting. Who am I connected with? What am I doing? What's going on? Amen. So you won't. So you do less wasting time on things that are not connected from God's connections. All right, God told me one time he's going to bring me friends that are my friends, that are his friends. And my friends become his friends, right? Yeah. Okay. Gary's from Australia says, Gary and Amelia are on the line. Okay, very cool. All right. I don't know which phone number you are, though, bro. Oh, there you are. Okay. All right. All right. Let's go here to 614-213. Is that Gary, is that you?
Yes. Hello, Randy.
All right. You got Amelia over there with you?
Yeah, I'll give you Amelia.
All right. Good deal. Hi, Amelia. Nice to have you tonight. Thank you for being on. All right, we're going to pray for you guys. Yes, all right, thank you. All right, okay, I don't know if she's trying to say something. Amelia, were you trying to say something? Go ahead.
When I'm muted, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. Uh-huh.
Gary's asking, can you
give a word first and then prayer later?
Yes, yeah. Tonight's Wednesday night.
Yes.
Tonight's the night that I'm going to mute you. I'm going to mute you because, well, on Wednesday nights, we don't do much talking. We just pray for people. I get your first name, what state you're from. Of course, you guys are from Australia. But it's Gary and Amelia from Australia, right? So we know that. So we're going to pray over you, prophesy over you, and then move to the next caller. It's kind of what we do. That way on Wednesday night, everybody gets prayed for. We don't miss anyone, all right? That's when we do this. So Gary and Amelia from Australia, thank you, Lord, for Amelia, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the humility in Amelia. God, I thank you for the beauty of the humility you're working in her, God, that sometimes when things don't go the way we think, we get surprised by life. It causes us to open up to God in a way that we don't normally open up in. We get a little surprise going on. All of a sudden, like, oh, my gosh, look what happened. Something happened. You know, it's like when a storm came up and Peter was, you know, it caused Peter to walk on the storm. The storm, you know, and the surprising thing, not only was the storm, because he's seen storms before on the water, but he saw Jesus walking on the water. That was new. That was shocking. That was a little bit surprised. So it made Peter shake his head thinking like, you know, hey, something's going on here. And so it caused him to get out of his normal way of dealing with the storm or dealing with life, and he stepped out on the boat and started walking on the water. So I see this season of surprising things happening, things going on, cool things going on, changes going on, surprises happening, and causing you to, like, if you will, get out of the boat and walk on the water with God in ways that you never have before. It's brand new ways. And finding yourself, you know, in a new territory with God, finding yourself a new territory with the Lord. Man, I'll take this word. This is awesome. Finding yourself in new places where you're thinking differently. You're thinking more about the future. You're thinking more about, you know, not just me and Gary, but, you know, me and God and me and life and me and my future and really starting to think completely different. In fact, Gary's going to say to you, hey, man, it's like you've changed. And you're going to go, yeah, I am changing. God is changing me. I'm changing. And it's a beautiful thing and God using you to he's going to challenge you to believe him for beautiful things, for life to be blessed. Like when Abraham and Sarah, you know, I know you guys are pregnant. Yeah, Gary told me that last time. But when Abraham and Sarah had their first baby, it was like, you know, it was like brand new thing for them. You know, in motherhood, when a child gets conceived in the womb, you know, it kicks in motherhood, and not only does it kick in motherhood, but it kicks in motherhood in a very specific way toward that very specific child. Each child, when you carry a child, whether people realize it or not, they're carrying a different character inside them than the last one or whatever, you know. And so it's like you're carrying a particular person in your body. There's two of you. And so you have, you know, their thoughts, so to speak, their feelings, their emotions, the way they move in the womb, the way they move around, and all this stuff. And feeling that and knowing that, you know, just making you aware of my God, opening you up and making you aware of new things, amen, and causing you to think differently and think higher and think, you know, every time we have circumstances going on in our life, we think higher about it, right? We start thinking like, oh, wow, God, I'm just thinking like this is really, I never thought these wonderful thoughts before. This is really, really awesome. And you think these thoughts and the motherhood part of you kicking in a very special way. So open that up for her, God, for Amelia, and let this new nature inside of her, this new child, this new being going on inside of her, let all this stuff begin to cause her to go places she's never gone before and think and feel things she's never thought or felt before, beautiful things, in Jesus' name, amen. All right. And God, I thank you for the provision realm that you begin to get to intervene in Gary in the creative areas and give him the fruit of his labors, God, of his creativity and all that crazy character. Gary, the wild man, you know, the creative part of him.
Yeah, and begin to bring about the fruit of the labors, God, financially even, for things in Jesus' name, and let those things begin to open up for him. And let him find himself, you know, being a provider in ways that he never had before, never known before, a brand new anointing on him to provide, you know, to bring provision. As a father, as a husband, emotionally, you can bring provision. A husband brings emotional provision to a marriage. A husband brings emotional and fatherly image, you know, in you know, power to, you know, a child. So that provision is awakening up in you. You can find yourself being awakened to provision in the realm of provision that you never had, money and the power of it and what, how God uses it and all that. All right. I think I tried. Hang on a second. Did I try 612? I did 612. What now? Did I do 912 earlier? 912-398, are you there? All right, 912-398, are you there? All right. I think it's Angel Joy. I'm not sure. Hello, 912-398. Are you there? Can't hear you. All right, 912-398. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to God, and your in bearing forth the fruit of faithfulness, finding out that God being faithful to you in ways that you've never seen faithfulness before, finding out the faithfulness of God, and you know, God is even faithful when we're not. We don't always do everything perfect, right? I don't always do everything perfect, but God is faithful anyway. He helps me realize my mistakes or my shortcomings. And he goes, hey, you know, because he's faithful. His faithfulness, is going to overtake you. His faithfulness is going to, you're going to absorb God's faithfulness like you never had before, and you're going to realize that how the faithfulness of God, had it not been for his faithfulness, that I wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't have come forth. And it's because of the great faith God has put within you and activating that great faith into the realm of God's faithfulness. In other words, God coming through. Faithfulness is God coming through. Like that, the fruit of faith is God coming through. So faith and faithfulness working together in that sense, and seeing God as your father and your husband, if you will, and your provider for you, that he's your faith. God gave you faith to trust in his faithfulness. Amen. Really, really awesome. All right. Really cool. All right. 850-491. Who am I talking to from, please?
Hey, Randy. This is Donna from Florida.
Oh, hey, Donna. All right, Donna. Thank you, Jesus, for Donna. Lord, I thank you for you know, I keep seeing you in the kitchen. I keep seeing you in the kitchen cooking. I think it has to do with maybe physical food, too, and spiritual food. God's showing you how to cook up food that not only people like to taste, but that it's healthy for them, right? In other words, giving people, you know, even physical food too, but spiritual food that it's not just like bland and like, okay, go ahead and eat that. It's like taking medicine. You have to swallow it because it tastes so bad. No, you know, put a little sugar in it. Put a little something, you know, not literally sugar, but, you know, sweeten it up. Like God's going to show you how to make the things of God that are good for you taste good, how to cook that up, how to talk about it, how to, you know, minister about it, how to, you know, share about it in a way that people are going to like. Man, usually when I hear somebody talk about being faithful to God, I kind of like, I don't really enjoy it that much because it makes it look like God wants so much of us, you know, and so when you teach it and when you share it, it's like it makes people want that, makes them hungry for it, it makes them want to eat it. And when you cook up faithfulness, Donna, it tastes good. When you cook up this certain doctrine or this certain teaching, this certain belief system we're talking about, you know, being obedient to God, I don't feel like I'm condemned because I'm not ever doing obedience. But when you talk about it, it's like when you cook it up, it makes me hungry for it. I want to eat it. I want to be obedient. I want to walk in that. So I thank you, Jesus, for Donna, God, and opening her up to that place in Jesus' name of cooking up the things of God, you know, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And, yeah, so thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Marriage Supper of the Lamb is going to be, we're going to find out how good Jesus cooks, right? When Jesus cooks up something, you want it. It tastes good. It smells good, and you want it. I want that. So when people start eating, Donna, from your table, from your mouth, from your words, they're going to be like, oh, man, usually when I eat spinach, I hate it. But when you put it out, I just love it. And that kind of thing. Well, people love to eat the healthy things of God, not just a bunch of sweets all the time, but healthy food from heaven. All right, 903-808, can we talk to your friend, please?
This is Janie in Texas.
Hi, Janie. Yes, thank you, Janie, my real estate lady, sort of. She sent me stuff today. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for that, for the, you know, the advisement, the being advised, God, using you to advise others and give them advice, you know, give them advice. You know, and I see the advice that you give people. It is to more settle them down, to give them peace. When they have anxiety, that, you know, over something, you show them how to have peace about it, how to not have anxiety, how to rest, how to trust, how to believe God. And so this whole realm of teaching people how not to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, prayer and thanksgiving. So I see God really opening up an anointing for you to, he says in the last days, there's going to be a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety. So you're going to see a lot of that, Jeannie, and God's really going to open you up to, even if you don't teach on it, you know, specifically, it's just in your, it's in your breath, it's in your thoughts, it's in your mouth, you know, it's in your life, because you've done a lot of work with you in this area, and you've learned, you know, a lot of things about this, even more so than you know, and God's going to really show you how to help people settle down and not be anxious about things, and not be, you know, because when they get anxious about them, they make moves that are not of God. That's what happened with Abraham and Sarah. They got anxious. You know, and he was a father of faith, right? So was Sarah. They got anxious. If they had somebody, you know, like you, you know, speaking words to them, they wouldn't have gotten anxious and made those mistakes. And it cost them a lot, right? It cost us a lot. Isis. Thanks a lot, Abraham, for Isis. So, you know, you see what I'm saying? So saving people the trouble of panicking, freaking out, and making moves that they shouldn't be making, you know, and you teaching them how to do this, showing them, you know, giving them peace, to just relax and rest and let God. And so, yeah, all right. I don't think. Jesus says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, in prayer and thanksgiving. And that anointing for you, that Judah anointed you to praise and lift people up and get them out of that. That's what David took Saul from being anxious by his playing and, you know, just the fact that David was, it wasn't just playing the harp that did it. It's just David himself. And his words and his songs, and I think he could have probably done that without even the harp, you know. But it was the way he was, and he ran anxiety off, fear off from Saul. And so it's kind of the same anointing like that. All right, 480-6, hang on a second. 480-637, who I talk to you from, please?
Greg from Arizona.
Oh, hey, Greg. My brother Greg. All right. I see God bringing you, you know, brothers, real brothers, brothers that think differently than you do, but have the same heart as you do, to know the will of God, to want to do God, to want to serve God, to be faithful to God. And God bringing people, I say brothers, it can be girls too, but, you know, brothers, in other words, people who believe God, brothers and sisters in the kingdom, bringing them to you where you can have fun and have fellowship and talk about things, you know, that you want to talk about and get things out in the open and share things and love and care and, you know, and be able to share revelation with each other because you both are all going for the same direction. That is, you know, radical Jesus all the way. We want Jesus all the way. So thank you, Lord, for that. Bringing those friends, God. And in Jesus' name. And sometimes he brings you friends that are just the opposite of you. You both love Jesus, but they're just the opposite. You know, and so you balance each other out. God's going to bring people to you that balance you out. If they need to be more on fire, they're going to hang around you. And if they need to be more at peace, you know, they're going to hang around you. So whatever the thing is, God brings balance through relationships. That's why we need relationships, because they bring balance for us. Yeah, so I thank you, Lord, for that balance, for that power of balance, having a balanced life in Jesus. Not compromising, not lukewarm, but balance. right, where we think things through soberly. It's like having somebody to share things with. You hear it for yourself as you talk about it. Sometimes hearing things come out of your mouth when you're sharing with somebody, you hear it completely different than you do when you're talking it in your own brain, right? So getting it out and talking things out with people, whether it's a revelation from heaven, whether it's, you know, a certain belief, you know, a certain political party or whatever the thing is. Yeah, and so sharing those things, getting them out so you can hear them come out of your own mouth. Yeah, and then go back and forth and chew things. And even though people may not really believe everything you say, you know, it's to help you work the Word of God inside of you, to help you to work the way to communicate the Word of God. God wants you to communicate His Word, bro. He wants you to communicate the Word, amen, by the Spirit and by music. All right. All right, 908-305, can I talk to you from, please? 908-305? Hello, 908-305, are you there? All right. All right, 908-305, are you there? All right. I think this is, what is this? Thank you, Jesus, for 908. And thank you, Jesus, that the favor God wants to give you toward business thinking, toward people who think business-like, to get business understanding, to get business wisdom, to get, you know, how to handle your business, whether it's your personal business or business stuff. And God's given you a business anointing so that you can, like with me, you know, I needed a business anointing just to handle my own stuff, even though I'm not in the business world, but I needed a business anointing to handle my own stuff. So I see God giving you a business anointing. Increase that ability to handle things, to work things, to do things, and to make things happen, to make your own life, your personal life prosper, much less, you know, anything else. And so we all need to learn. Jesus said, "I'm going about doing my Father's business." And God showed me how to do the Father's business, and literally the business side of it, as far as, you know, the structure part, how to put things together, how to read, how to write things down. How to keep up with stuff and how to organize and structure things. Amen. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for that. Opening that up for my friend in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, let that anointing that to cover 908, that anointing to cover them and protect them and keep them so that the enemy can't get in and eat away at things, you know, and waste things. That God wants to do away with the waste so there's not things wasted. You know, we all have a little bit of waste, but he wants to do away with that waste that brings, you know, debt or brings destruction. He wants to do away with that and cause the business thing to cause you to prosper and be blessed. Amen. All right, 402-650. I'm going to talk to you real quick, please.
Hey, Randy. It's John and Melissa in Omaha.
Oh, hi, John. All right, Melissa. You said John and Melissa, and you say somebody else? I didn't think I got that. Maybe you should give me the name of the state you're in. All right. John and Melissa, thank you, Jesus, for John. Thank you, Lord, for the favor, God, John, that given favor, Father, for John to be able to convince people, to be able to influence people, Father, to be able to get their attention and go, I know what I'm talking about, and get that confident air of confidence. Like, you know, I know what I'm talking about. You can relax. Yeah, I'm going to teach you. I can teach you. You can learn from me. And be able to put things together, put information together that makes sense to people, that they can go, yeah, that makes sense to me. Make things practical, make things easy, make things, you know, doable. Where people would say, I want to get around John because when I get around John, you know, we work things out. We figure things out. Things start coming together. in Jesus' name, in the spirit of counsel on John, Father. Melissa, God, I thank you for that. For Melissa, Father, I thank you for structuring her life, God, for putting a structure in her life that's brand new, a brand new structure, a brand new way of doing her day, of the way she does every little thing, all the little things, all the big things, the structure of her life, Father, that you're blessing the structure of her life and causing her to restructure her thinking, restructure things, because like we grow in maturity from, you know, like when you're 20 and then you turn 30, and you go from 30 to 40 and 40 to 50. Each level, you mature and you change the way you think about things. You start thinking, okay, I haven't dealt with this yet. I want to deal with this now because I'm ready. Sometimes we can't deal with things until we're ready to deal with them, right? I can't deal with things until I'm ready to deal with them. We can try to make people deal with things, but until they're ready to deal with it, it ain't going to happen, right? So we pray that they get ready to deal with it. God, make Melissa ready as she's growing and maturing into that beautiful woman, and drawing her into that place of that structure, Father, where she can get things done, even in her mind, in her heart, in her world, in her life, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, amen. All right, 623-282.
This is Carmen from Texas.
Okay, Carmen, I prayed over you earlier, didn't I? I did pray over you earlier. Yeah, I think that, okay, that's a mistake. Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to get you twice there. Your phone must have been knocked up. All right, if you have another prayer request, don't text me. I don't know if you did that on purpose or an accident. All right, 720-819, you want to talk to your phone, please?
Jeff and Yuki.
Hey, Jeff and Yuki. Yes, good to have you guys tonight. All right, thank you, Lord, for that place of safety, feeling safe. You know, to be able to walk in the supernatural, it feels safe about it. You know, how you feel safe is you know that God is guiding you, that God's leading you. I feel safe when I know the Lord's leading me, even if I don't know what I'm doing. If I don't have a clue what I'm doing, but I know He's leading me, then He's going to give me information when I need it. He's going to give me the right words at the right time, to the right season, and give me the right information when I need the information. I may not always need the information right away. Sometimes I think I need the information today, and I really don't need it today. It's working in me. He's moving it in me. The supernatural, the voice of God inside of me is planting it inside of me, but I haven't got it in my head yet. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer for it to get from your spirit to your head, where things make sense, where things go like, okay, that's what we're going to do. Yeah, and we have to wait on that till that matures, till that shape takes shape. You can feel something down in your spirit that something's going on, but until it shapes up in your mind, when it shapes up in your mind, that's when it becomes more clear. That's when it becomes more safe. That's when it becomes more secure. You're going like, okay, now I know. You know, to know things is different than believing. Knowing is everything with you guys. God's showing you how to know things, how to walk in the knowing realm, not to just, oh, I believe. No, well, the knowing realm is completely different. Oh, I know. Yes, I know. This I know, that I know, that I know. Why? The Bible says, my sheep know my voice. Knowing is a big word because it's not, I think I am, I think I will. I think I... No, knowing that. Knowing is knowing. Knowing is that safe place. Is that place of like going, okay, I know. I know that I know that I know. And when you get there, then you're ready. Until you get there and you're not ready, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Right? So you can't see it, but yet you know it. Right? And when you know it, that's all you need. When you start knowing, there's no question. There's no, when you get hit up, somebody tries to hit you upside the head with it, you're just like, no, I know. Yep, no, I know. So that knowing realm, God, with Jeff and Yuki, God, I thank you, Jesus, for teaching the difference between believing they know and knowing that they know. And walking in that realm of knowing. Because then when the enemy comes and tries to attack you with fear of that's not going to work, that's not going to happen, you go like, well, I don't know how it's going to happen, I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen. Yeah, in Jesus' name. All right. Let's go to 919-995. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please? Nine one nine 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 five. Hello, 99919. Okay. Okay, I think this is Cheryl from Cheryl, not from Florida, but okay. I had my call drop and I called back. Okay. Yeah, I already prayed for you, though. That's why you saw me in the different position. Okay, yeah. I prayed for you already, though, I think. Yeah, I did pray for you already, so thank you for that. Yeah, okay, I couldn't figure that out either. Sometimes that does happen, as you know. All right, so what was I praying? 919-95, I think it's Cheryl from North Carolina or South Carolina or somewhere like that. Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl, God. We thank you, Lord, for making her heart feel secure about her relationships. Father, because she's given those relationships to you, she's trusting you, that when things get messed up in a relationship, she goes back to, well, God, you know, I trust you, I believe you, I know you, I know you, I do know you, and because I know you, I know everything's going to work out for good. So I'm not going to fear, I'm going to falter, I'm not going to fall apart, I'm going to maintain, and because when we start freaking out of relationships, you know, then what happens is that we end up, you know, doing things, trying to make it work, doing things that really just don't need to be done, and it creates more problems than it does anything because we end up, making things harder to do. And so I see God really showing you how to work with the relationship realm, how to be at peace, how to be at rest, and how to know that, God's on your side, that he's with you, and that that relationship is not based upon your ability to keep that relationship. It's based upon your ability to trust God. Amen? All right. Awesome. All right, 951-996.
Hi, this is Regina.
Oh, hi, Regina.
All right. Hi, Parker.
Hi. Good to see you. Good to have you tonight. All right, thank you for Regina, God. I thank you for that, of the power of that peace, God. Being able to speak that peace over people's minds and their hearts. And when the storms of life are really rolling them over and trying to, knowing that at the same time, Regina, that when you see a storm rolling in, sometimes the storms that roll in, sometimes we rebuke them because we think it might hurt them, but sometimes the storm is the thing that causes them to step out. Sometimes the storm that they're going through is the very thing that causes them to get right with God or to, you know, do things that they normally wouldn't do. A storm causes people to do things they don't normally do, right? It causes them to think about things more clearly, sobers them up, if you will, and wakes them up. So when we see people go through storms, sometimes we pray that instead of rebuking the storm, we ask God to take full advantage of the storm and do a mighty work in their life so that they, whatever they're having, what might take 10 years for them to get through, they can get it done in a year or 6 months or in one day. Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah, because, you know, when somebody goes through a storm, sometimes God sent that storm. And if God sends it, we sure don't want to rebuke it. We sure don't want to worry about it, right? Because God, we see God in it. Like, somehow or another, God's in that. When the storm came for Peter, what happened? It caused him to get up, walk on it. He got up and stepped out, and God's showing you how to let God be God, and let his enemies be scattered. And sometimes going through a valley, going through a place of darkness, instead of we want to take the darkness away from them, or the short away, the Lord says, don't take it away from them. That's the very thing I'm using to wake them up. Right? So God's really showing you how to intercede on that, especially family members and things and situations and storms even that we go through. You know, God, it's a storm. You're trying to move things around, and I just don't see it. Because, storms are never fun, but they wake people up. Yeah, they really do. They cause people to make decisions and change their mind about things they normally wouldn't change their mind about, except for the storm. And then we start thanking God for that storm. Thank God we went through that storm. That storm woke us up, right? Yeah, you start seeing that a lot. All right, Regina. All right, God bless. Okay, all right. 608-960, who am I talking to you from, please?
Shannon in Wisconsin.
Oh, hey, Shannon. All right, Jesus, for Shannon, we thank you, Lord, for his appetite, God, that you've given him an appetite for love, an appetite for that, a desire for that. When we have an appetite for something, we usually draw it in. You know, it's like when you have an appetite for, you know, what? Some kind of a special food, and you're driving down the road, and you smell something that smells like food but doesn't smell like that food. Yeah, it's okay, but you don't really. But as soon as you smell something that smells like that food you've been thinking about, oh, you got to stop and get some of that, right? Oh, that's it. That confirms it. So God giving you, you know, passionate desires for love, for friendship, for that kind of thing, and let the smell of that, you know, draw you to the right person, you know, draw you to the right person, draw you to the right people, to where you can, you know, let the aroma that you smell within you, thing that you're desiring, thing that you want, let the smell of it on the outside. Like you're driving along, you smell a barbecue place. Well, I'm not really having a barbecue. You smell, you drive down the road along, you smell a hamburger joint. You say, oh, I want a hamburger. Oh, yeah, let's pull up in there and get a hamburger. Because as soon as you smell that you're thinking about on the inside, confirms that that's it, right? And you pull in. So same thing with friendships, relationships. You have a certain passion and desire for a certain kind of thing, and you smell it, you come up to it exteriorly, and you walk past it, and you smell it, you go, yeah, that's it, right? And God's showing you how to work that and how to discern that, how to move in it. Yeah, in Jesus' name. All right. Yeah, that's it. All right, 936-628. Am I talking to you?
Hey, unknown caller. Hey, unknown caller.
Kay?
Yes.
Hi, Kay. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Kay. God, we thank you for the spirit of freedom, God, in Jesus' name. I speak the spirit of freedom over Kay tonight, God. I speak the spirit of freedom. I bind up bondage. I bind up all the things that cause Kay's body to be locked down or locked up or whatever it is, where she's not free to run about, do what she wants to do. You know, sometimes when we have struggles and battles in our soul, our body locks up on us. And the Bible says, you know, let your soul be prospering your soul, even as your, may you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So when your soul is prospering, you know, your body is healed, your body is healthy most of the time. When your soul is prospering and you're free emotionally, mentally, and you're getting the word of God inside you, that word will go down and cause your body to be in health and resist the anxiety. Some of the anxiety and stress makes us sick of anything else. Fears that come against us, sometimes we get fears all around us, fear this, fear that, and the Lord says, rebuke that fear. You know, don't partake of that fear. Rebuke it in Jesus' name. You cause it to come down because when the fear enters into our emotional realm, to our soul, and start messing with our body. Our body starts freezing it. Our body starts doing things. And wherever the weak parts of our body are, it will affect the weak parts of our body. And where we may have never had a problem with that, it will cause a problem with it, right? I know that I find out when too much vinegar or something, that every weak part of my bones start hurting, right, immediately. The part of my bones that are less, you know, that are stronger and less, you know, vulnerable, it takes them longer to get it, but the bones that first get hit with that pain are the most vulnerable. So God's showing you your vulnerabilities and how to walk through them and get healed of them and walk in the blessing of the Lord, that anointing for healing and satisfying of the soul and feeding your soul the food that it needs. Like every day, if I don't feed my body the things I know that it has to have to live, then I don't think clearly, I don't do things clearly, it messes me up. So eat the foods from God that God brings you, because that's what's going to get you to thinking about the thing he wants you to think about. All right. All right, let's go here. 251-342. You want to talk to Marie Quinn, please?
Hey, this is Latrice from Alabama.
Oh, hi, Latrice. Good to have you, Latrice.
All right, thank you, Latrice. Thank you, Jesus, for the covering, God, to cover her. God's making your covering bigger or something. I'm not sure what that is. Making your covering bigger, or you're more covered, or you're covering not only yourself but other people. With your prayers, with your belief system, with your knowing, with the knowing realm, the whole realm of covering, protecting, and watching over people. And, you know, sometimes people think your pastor is your covering. Well, you know, in a sense, yeah, okay, that's true, partially. But in all truth, you know, your covering is the Holy Spirit. You know, the canopy of the Lord is what is our covering. And the more we walk in that canopy, and the more God broadens our canopy and makes it bigger, then the more people that we cover, the more people that are protected by our prayers. And so I thank you, Jesus, for Latrice, God, that you're showing her that you're expanding her ability to, for her, protection in that, the banner over her of protection. God is showing you the banner over you is protection. God using you to protect others by prayer, by intercession, and by your faith in God. Amen. All right. 847-239. Who I talk to you from, please?
Hello, Stephanie from Illinois.
Hi, Stephanie. All right, Stephanie from Illinois. Thank you, Jesus, for the technology part. God teaching her the things about technology that she needs to know about. God's going to show you things about technology. There's good about technology and there's bad about technology. Some people, I remember back in the day, people used to say, "Oh, TV is a one-eyed demon." Well, it can be, but it also can be a one-eyed, you know, the eyes of God looking through you. You know, it's windows of the soul. It's what's in there. You know. So technology can be a blessing and it can be a curse, but not all most technology can be used for good as well as for bad. So God's showing you that technology itself is not bad. It's what people do with it that make it bad. So, and also investments, God's showing you how to invest your time, how to invest your prayers, how to invest your time, what you listen to, how important that is for the investment of your time. Because what you invest in now, you know, with your time, what you listen to, will be what you produce fruit in those areas that you listen to and learn from. So if you want to bear a lot of fruit, you listen to the things that are good investments, things that are about, that are solid, that are the future, that are what's going on, what God is doing. Listen to the right things, eating the right spiritual food, for sure. All right. What was that? 847. Yeah, this is 847. I just did 847, right? Stephanie, that's you, right? 847?
Yeah, that's me.
Okay, I thought it was fine. All right. I already get so many numbers here. All right, 325. Hang on a second. 325-721. Let's talk to Reed Pumpley.
Hi. This is Hunter and Raven from Stanford, Texas.
Oh, hi, you guys. Hunter and Raven. All right. All right, good to have you guys tonight. Hunter and Raven from Texas. Thank you, Jesus, for Hunter and Raven. God, we thank you, Lord, for good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Man, give it to your bosom. And, Lord, I thank you for people giving into your bosom. Like, you know, there's always a time to plant, but there's also a time to reap the harvest. And God, I thank you for the things that they planted, that they've given, that they do give what they give to each other, what they plant in each other's lives, what they work through, God, so that they can have a big harvest in their future. God, I think that you're going to show them how to invest in, you know, things, you know, that in a sense that, you know, what they plant, they're going to harvest. And how big they plant is how big they're going to harvest, right? If you give sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you give you know, generously, you reap generously. So thank you, Lord, that you're teaching them how to give emotionally, mentally, spiritually, give their time, give it freely, give it wholeheartedly, give it fully, so they can reap a harvest of full, wholehearted blessings coming back to them instead of some half-hearted, you know, half-baked thing. That they reap the full benefits, Father, of 100-fold blessings in their life. God, you called them to 100-fold blessing. You called them to the fully exceeding abundantly above all you could ever think or even imagine. So teach them, God, that only happens. It doesn't just happen because you get a word about it. It happens because you plant the seed. It happens because you know how to give and the way you give and how you give with joy, or are you giving out of regret and out of dread? Are you giving out of joy and, you know, like you enjoy this is fun? And that way when it comes back to you, it comes back to you like that. It didn't come back with dread. It didn't come back with, you know, all that. It comes back with excitement. So thank you, Jesus, for them. And thank you, Father, for causing them to come together and to realize that they're not always going to agree on everything. But when they believe in the same God, that same God will lead them to be at one with each other. And anything that tries to divide that, whether it be little things, big things, that they will find themselves being checked by that and say, God, you know, keep us united together, spirit, soul, and body, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts of the Holy Spirit flowing through them, that they flow toward each other and toward the community. In Jesus' name, they find their place in the community as leaders. Leaders in the community, God. Servants, really, but leaders. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. Okay. All right. As far as I can see, that's all my callers tonight. Yep, that's all my callers. Okay. It's about 11:20, so if you want prayer tonight, make sure and get in there. And let's pray over you. If you don't get on there pretty quick, I'm going to call it a night. All right. Okay. All right. We have two or three people that don't have their hand up, so I don't know if that's what you want or you're just listening or what you're doing. You're welcome to. We're not going to try to get you on the line if you don't have your hand up. Okay? So that way we won't interfere with your peaceful listening. All right. Awesome. That's great. All right, been a good night. All right, get to pray over a little bit of everybody tonight. Been really good. Thank you for being with us tonight. Thanks for joining PGN. Thanks for helping us with PGN, however God leads you and guides you to help us. We really appreciate that as we give and plant into people's lives, that it will prosper them, bless them, so that when they get blessed, they will bring that blessing hopefully back to PGN, at least in part, and that we'll all be blessed together, and that we reap from the harvest of your lives from the Lord, that when the Lord blesses, that we all reap together for the – make sure to take care of the ministry. Take care of the ministry that blesses you. I know some of you go to the churches, you come here, you go to different places. Make sure and take care of those places. They're there. Your finances, your prayer support, that's what causes them to do well and to function. So make sure and do that. All right? Okay. All right, y'all. I think that's it. No more callers tonight. That was my last caller. Okay. All right, everybody, I'm going to call tonight. I don't see anybody else raising their hand, so good to be with you tonight. Thank you for calling in. Thanks for letting us minister to you. We love it. All right. Bye-bye.